Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, and it has been a big winter out here. We get what's left of the storms after the California mountains ring out the clouds. But it's still plenty for a land of little rain. Lots of humidity, too, something that's hard to accept when you're in the Mojave Desert, the hottest, driest desert in America. That's our brand. Hot and dry. And yet, for the past year or so, especially since Hurricane Hillary in August, lots of rain, even some snow that sticks to the hills for a day or two. Strange tropical weeds sprouting up year-round, weird rainforest ferns spreading out from the junipers and yucca trees. And plenty of rain for a land of little rain. You might have heard Death Valley has a lake again, for one thing. The ancient Lake Manly reappeared, as it sometimes does when the Amargosa River is carrying lots of storm water, as it sometimes does during its long, twisting journey from the Kingdom of Nye in Nevada. 185 miles of river in all, twisting and turning and mostly underground. And all that's left at the end of that 185-mile journey is usually the bitter stuff, the bad water. Until winters like this one. Rivers adapt. If the underground waterways are full, the water will flow on the surface. But poor old Highway 127, like most of our desert two lanes, was not really built for such weather on the regular. So here's a road conditions tip. If you are thinking of going up to see Lake Manly from Joshua Tree or 29 Palms or Wonder Valley, which would usually mean taking the beautiful and generally quiet back way through Mojave Trails up Amboy and Kelbaker Roads, through Mojave National Preserve and the last beautiful section before you cross the 15. The bad news is that a half dozen road closures await you in that direction, so plan accordingly. Yes, if you are brave and sneaky and have a hovercraft or, better yet, a horse, you can get around a few of the road closures like we've all done from time to time. To get east of Amboy on Old Route 66, over the past couple of decades, but you never know how far you're gonna get, and people do tend to die out there when they make a couple of wrong turns. That's all it takes. Especially when it happens within the many peaceful zones without cell phone service. Meaning you can die in peace when your rental car falls into the Great Chasm. So you either got to take the way of ugliness, the I-15 full of maniacs and Amazon double trailers hauling supplements and sex toys to the suburbs of Las Vegas, or take the scenic long way along the Arizona line, the Colorado River. Or you can take a helicopter, which will probably crash, as have several, both military and private, crossing the California desert and mountains in recent weeks through this wild winter weather. Give yourself at least half a day from anywhere south, southwest of Barstow. That's what I mean. That's my advice. It's not legal advice. I'm not responsible for you or anything you do. And this time of year, daylight's still gone by 6 p.m., so get on the road before noon if you want to be able to see your campsite, if you can find one. I find the whole area is just too full of people in the 21st century, which makes sense if you add up the numbers. 23 million in Southern California, another 3 million in Las Vegas, Clark County. That right there is the population of the entire continent of Australia, 26 million. Continent, island, who knows what they call it now. Maybe it's like Pluto, constantly being downgraded. More people between L.A. and Las Vegas than the whole New York metropolitan area times 2.5. Of course, it only takes a couple of thousand people to make a big open desert seem crowded and disgusting. Ever sit in Yucca Valley traffic and again remember there are only 20,000 or so people in the whole town? And 75,000 dogs that never shut up? True, the residents of Yucca Valley have about a half dozen enormous pickup trucks per resident. But how many can they drive at one time? All with a turn signal blinking, blinking, blinking down the many miles of blacktop. You hardly ever see a horse anymore. Or a hovercraft. And that's the mystery why we never see hovercraft, because the U.S. Marine Corps has tremendous hovercraft, huge hovercraft. The size of old-fashioned cruise ships from the 1970s that only held a couple of thousand people. But I'll tell you where you can see them. you're driving south of Orange County, headed towards San Diego or Tijuana or point south, keep your eyes open on the I-5 as you're going through Camp Pendleton Marine Base. They've built large concrete block walls around the actual hovercraft ports, but once they're on the water, you can see them. Just ask Red, Blue, Black, Silver. He lives on one of those things.
Imagine, if you can, a land of incredible contrast. A land of majestic vistas. And lovely, fragile tales. A place where the sunrise bursts upon the night, turning muted colors riotously brilliant. A place where the wind has worked as a great cosmic sculptor for 70 million years. A place where the river has carved a mile deep. And finally, imagine that there was an airline that, or golf and tennis vacations, of all the sights and excursion and night coach fares that can save you up to let you charge your hold on a remarkable extended TWA. And such a place, Arizona.
Captain Williams advises me that we'll be on the ground in Phoenix in about, we predict you'll love Arizona. And we thank you for flying TWA.
Phoenix City. And not too far from the city, contrast begins. Chitrail, looking today, when President Theodore Roosevelt said, the ride from the beautiful city that you travel north sure to agree with that Teddy Roosevelt. In the state of Arizona, quietly, and keep a shot warded with some lovely glimpses of wildlife, their natural habitat. Not to mention a glimpse of the original London Bridge, with the rhythm of life and natural. And you'll find some things that are unexpected, disappointed, hundreds of challenging anywhere. A wide variety of prices. Some feature just lying around doing nothing. Accurate history, fun, right before your eyes. And a man can die on these mean streets. Perhaps no site in the state captures the real spirit of Arizona better than this. In the streams and lakes of the famous White Mountains, like the game fish, timber is a renewable resource. This silent symphony pauses in time. These colors give way to the moon and the stars. God's earth sleeps. Or golf and tennis vacations.
Desert Oracle Radio.
One side effect of working in radio and publishing and all the various typing professions since Ronald Reagan was president is that you tend to notice the disintegration of the various media industries. First, the newspapers and the magazines, then the locally owned radio and TV stations, the regional publishers of books and maps and guides. And now we are a decade deep into the death of all the internet publications that supposedly replaced all the newspapers and other such periodicals. The movie studios and video game companies are not doing much better, and of course you can blame corporate greed and dimwit executives who never learned anything in life except how to hype something through the next round of investment money, and how to get out the door with millions of dollars before everything shut down and deleted. they love to delete stuff. These days, they will delete entire finished movies that people want to pay money to see. They will delete decades of what the tax lawyers call IP and content. Just delete it, fire everybody, move on quickly, and try to announce it on a day when so much grim stuff is going on. Really, nobody notices beyond the hundreds of people who find they're still sitting in an apartment, still looking at a laptop computer. But now they don't get paychecks to pay the rent. Not even a chance to raid the headquarters for anything that's not bolted to the floor, like in the good old days when you might get out the door with a matte black ping pong table or a half keg of IPA. The news media prospects are not very rosy in the present day world. A quick glance at the headlines, soon to be removed from Google for those who maybe used news.google.com these past couple of decades, is enough to tell you that everything is proceeding according to projections. According to the accounting firm's plan for widespread tax evasion and dissipation of shareholder value. Because the very idea of news is now a cultural, political, and increasingly physical battlefield around the world. The magical, majestic seven global corporate nation-states and their countless imitators don't want or need controversy. Negative controversy, I mean bad press. They love fake controversy. Better to delete a big website with decades of easily searchable and possibly actionable content. Then you can sell that now disappeared actionable content as AI data learning sets. Now your boutique corporate media studio can flesh out all kinds of rote wiki-style ChatGPT video pornography output with both generalized and topical content, along with occasional choice phrases that appeal to the middle-aged millennial who grew up reading a certain online tone, you know? Snark. For lack of a less cringy word, snark. That was the tone of digital media in the early 21st century. Some 15 years ago, the New Yorker's film critic got all up in a lather over the Gawker.com political website that I edited and published between 2006 and about 2011. David Denby was very upset about the snark, and actually published an anemic book with that title. Well, with that title and a subtitle. Snark. It's mean, it's personal, and it's ruining our conversation. What a subtitle. That's a person who was repeatedly and aggressively given swirlies at summer camp because he deserved it. When my mean old Cajun grandma lived with me and my parents during her last years of life, sometimes I'd come home from school and say, oh, so-and-so did this to me, or so-and-so was mean to me. say, did you deserve it? Well, I probably did. It's just the way of the beast, the mark of the beast. The beast is always hungry for pain and blood and sorrow and anxiety. But also for corporate earnings, stock splits, and commercial real estate. And what they call mega bonuses on Wall Street. Especially commercial real estate. Until, in the case of commercial real estate, the beast does not want it anymore. So what happens? Well, when I don't want something anymore, I either take it down to Angel View Thrift Shop so it can generate a little cash for taking care of those kids, or I put it out on the street so somebody who needs it can take it away. But they don't do that with empty Rite Aid locations. They just fire everybody who works there, and they send a robot text to the people who will need to find another pharmacy to pick up their medications tomorrow. And then they lock up the building. Nobody's going to sleep in there, no matter how many people are in tents on the street outside. Those people in tents, because they will never have the $10,000 required to rent a crappy apartment in 2024. With something like a news website, it's even easier. There's no real in the estate. It's just some space on the Amazon Web Services cloud. Just delete it all and quit paying the server bills. Nice and easy. I saw somebody today talking about the Washington, D.C. radio station that just laid off a big chunk of its editorial staff. Is nothing sacred? She asked on a social media site. Well, none of that stuff is sacred. Nothing is sacred unless we set it aside as sacred. And with Americans rapidly abandoning organized religion and the formerly sanctified church and temple sites now up for grabs, if you've got a spare $1 million to turn an old chapel into a luxury home, where are the places that are literally sacred? Places set aside for contemplation. Meditation. Seasonal festivals, the rituals of life. There ain't much. Sometimes I'll be talking with the park rangers and they'll mention how such and such place is sacred to this tribe or to that tribe. Access is restricted, etc. Understandable. But I'll think, where the hell are my sacred places? My ancestors have been on this continent for nearly 5 centuries. Could we get a little something? It was nearly 2 centuries ago when John Muir and people of his ilk very intentionally desired national parks and nature preserves to serve as open-air sacred places for all who visited them. But government agencies are not too good at running open-air temples. They're constitutionally prohibited from that whole business, apparently. Plus, they want to get a boat ramp in there and some more glamping sites, new parking lots, comfort stations. If you want something to outlast a particular profit-driven business cycle, you have to make it yourself, and you have to make it intentionally to not be part of the profit-driven business cycle. That's about all I've learned. And I believe that making places sacred greatly increases the chance of making places eternal. What I'm talking about is good old American nature worship, the wilderness transcendence of Georgia O'Keeffe and Robinson Jeffers and Mary Hunter Austin and, of course, old John Muir. John Muir, who wrote, "There is a love of wild nature in everybody, an ancient mother love ever showing itself, whether recognized or not, and however covered by cares and duties. Thousands of tired, nerve-shaken, over-civilized people are beginning to find out that going to the mountains is going home, that wildness is a necessity, and that mountain parks and reservations are useful not only as fountains of timber and irrigating rivers, but as fountains of life." From Amboy to Zizek's, around and across these Mojave Desert lands, this has been Desert Oracle Radio. If you are in or around the Mojave High Desert, you can tune in at 10 p.m. Friday nights on our local station up here, Z1077 FM. Good night. From the voice of the desert.